I feel like people are being pandered to right now. No one's being pushed outside of anything they want to do. Yeah, live your truth, whatever. I'm here to offer an alternative opinion. I'm Danielle Elizabeth, and this is my podcast. Aren't podcasts supposed to have cute names and stuff, though? This week, we're going to talk about the power of encouragement. And I said we because today I'm interviewing Boss Lady and my sister, Corey Nix, owner of Salon 318 and Hair Extraordinaire. She is 30 years old.
I'm old. I'm so old.
That's like the weirdest thing I've ever said out loud. It really threw me for a minute. So she just turned 30, and so she's speaking from a little bit of wisdom, I think. She's old enough to give her two cents. I feel like we're both just kind of getting to the place in life where we're both like, okay, we've got this a little bit this week.
Or I'm going to look like I do.
Well, let's be honest. We have certain aspects of our life together, but never all at the same time. It's not like, oh, we have our hair, makeup done, and we're killing it in our business and our personal lives and everything else. It's like something's got to give, and it's usually the hair and makeup.
Yeah, 98% of the time if you see me, my hair and makeup will not be done. Yeah. That's what I do for a living. I'm not going to do it as a hobby for myself.
Definitely not. So I think that we both are creative entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
We're women. We were raised by a creative entrepreneur. And our mom, who is super supportive of that with my dad, she was entrepreneurial as well.
I would say, though, that she's extremely creative.
Very creative. Both of our parents are creative.
Yeah.
My dad has actually helped me with flowers at weddings before.
Dad is hashtag Pinterest.
He is. I feel like at your wedding, which I'm definitely going to post a link to your wedding on Ruffled Blog so that people can reference that or can see pictures of that so they understand how crazy our brains are. But it was like our whole family went in on that together.
It was a major Murphy collab.
It was. I don't get to take full credit for that at all.
I don't get to take any credit for that because I literally said, this is what I like. This is kind of the color I like. I'll see you on September 28th.
You get to take credit for being the best bride ever in that sense that you didn't micromanage and you were down for whatever.
Yeah.
You were like, I'm going to have a pink dress back before people were doing that. Like, you were the first person I ever knew that had a blush pink dress. This was in 2012. She's a trendsetter, y'all. You had succulent favors, like in little pots. That was your favors for everyone in 2012, before everyone was doing that in like 2016. So, yeah, it was like the original rustic barn wedding. And I'm still super proud of it. My only regret is that I wish I was a better photographer then, because I feel like I didn't adequately capture it as good as I could have.
I don't know. It's pretty good.
But anyway.
Thank you for doing that.
Hey, no problem.
I still owe you hair for the rest of my life for doing
that. Oh, yeah. For me. That's why sometimes I feel guilty for having you do my hair, but I don't anymore.
Just remember that.
I remember that now. Thanks. So, a little backstory on Corey and I. We get along really well now, but we did not at all for a lot of our lives.
Yeah.
Most of our lives. We didn't really mesh. And
when we were younger, our age difference was a big deal, and now it's just not.
Well, in hindsight, I always feel bad when I think about the fact that, like, you were just trying to hang out with me, and I was like, get out of my room, you little twerp. You were always just, like, sweet and nice for the most part. I was pretty bossy. I feel like we got into it pretty good, and, like, you would hold your own. Like, you'd come at me, I'd come at you, but it was pretty fair fight.
And it resulted in, like, most of the time, a fist fight. Words weren't just thrown.
Yeah.
Fists were thrown.
Like, I don't know if anyone has, if you're a girl with a sister out there, but if you guys have never actually hit each other, I'm amazed.
No, I do remember we had a fist fight at my apartment in Oklahoma City one time in my bedroom. I remember that, and I don't remember what it was over. Probably talking to a dumb ex-boyfriend, but
probably.
You were probably trying to hold me accountable, and I didn't want accountability. Bottom line.
Who threw the first punch?
Probably me.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it was usually for me trying to boss you or take your phone away for talking to the crazy ex-boyfriend who shall not be named or anything like that. But
yeah, he doesn't get any credit.
He doesn't get. Yeah, he doesn't. We don't name him. He who shall not be named.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite fights to look back on and laugh about is the brownie fight.
Yeah.
It's funny because up until my parents renovated their kitchen 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, has still been? Brownie splatter on the cabinets.
I guess it's been 10 years ago. But yeah, there was brownie batter on the ceiling for like 10 years in our parents' kitchen. Yeah. And it wasn't like, oh, cute food fight, like what you're thinking. Like, you tell the story because you remember it more than I do.
I don't remember how old I was. Old enough that this shouldn't have been a thing. But I was making brownies by myself. I was a grown woman at the age of probably 15, making brownies by myself. And Danielle comes in and starts trying to tell me how to make brownies. And I was like, I don't need you to control me and boss me around and tell me how to make brownies. I'm reading it off of a box. I've got this. And she like continues to tell me how to do it. And I finally turn around and I have a spoon full of brownie batter. And I literally slap her across the face with my brownie battered spoon. And she grabs the closest thing to her, which is a dish towel, and starts trying to pop me with it. And at that point, things just start flying and brownie batter's flying. And I don't even know how that ended, but there was brownie batter everywhere.
It sounds like a delicious fight, at least.
I'm sure it was. And I want to eat brownies now, but,
but it's ridiculous. So all of this to say, like, it's not like we grew up just cherishing each other.
Yeah.
Like,
no way.
We didn't grow up appreciating all of our differences and loving each other through them. And I think it's only been the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Since we've been married and everything that we've, and had kids, that we've started to really appreciate each other and allow each other to like be who we are.
Yeah.
Jinx.
Yummy Coke.
So all that being said, I am an Enneagram type 3 and Corey is an 8. And I'm a Myers-Briggs ENTP, and she's an INTJ. So for anyone who doesn't care about those things, just ignore that. But for everyone else who cares about that, that will give you a little bit of insight into our personalities and how they're both very strong, assertive types. Very strong. So when Corey and I are talking, we're going to be talking about the power of encouragement and community over competition. We really can speak to that because we're two of the most bullheaded, stubborn types that are out there. And so it should be a breeze for everyone else. If we can do it, anyone else can do it.
Yeah.
And I would say that like my nature is more bossy and your nature is more not wanting to be bossed ever.
Yeah.
So it's like oil and water.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was kudos to our parents, yeah. To my mom especially, who stayed home with us most of the time. And kept us alive and from killing each other. So, and to where we're adults that actually enjoy each other's company, want to take trips together, spend time together outside of the normal holidays. And yeah, I mean, I don't really think we get to credit ourselves for that, but yeah. Well, maybe the last few years. But I think growing up, I don't know, they just kept us alive. That's all I know.
I think part of it too is understanding like later on in life. Not that we're old by any means, but like family is everything. And if I didn't have you as a best friend or someone I could confide in, I don't really have anybody. And so it's learning to understand each other and I need you, you need me. We're in this together. We're not enemies. And I think that did take us a long time to understand.
Yeah.
But we got there.
And I think that's a really good point. And I think that people listening that may not have a sister, like girls that are listening or guys that you're listening, if you may not have a brother, like find one.
Yeah.
And you probably already have one. But I think we're going to talk a lot about that, about how difficult it is to find that. And then once you found it, like nurturing that and not letting it go. And how to nurture that, I think, is through encouraging each other. So I want to talk about the movie Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Which is a favorite of mine. And
who doesn't want to ever talk about Mean Girls?
I always want to talk about Mean Girls. I haven't seen it on Broadway yet. Is it still on Broadway? It hasn't been canceled, has it?
You're New York City. I don't know.
I know. How do I not know this?
I live in Marlow, Oklahoma.
I don't know. But I love that movie. And what I think is crazy about it is there's never been a more real movie than that about like what it's like to be a teenage girl. But I think what's sad about that is that they were like overacting and like kind of writing it as a joke, but it's so real.
Yeah.
Like scary real.
Oh, yeah. I lived that through high school.
Yeah. And I think what's crazy is we have never really, you and I, been encouraged to be mean girls by our mom. Like, yeah. I know that a lot of mean girls, like, I feel like their moms were mean girls. I feel like it's a legacy thing.
Which we should say, not that we've ever not been mean girls. But.
No, yeah, for sure. We were talking about that earlier. Like, I'm embarrassed of the way that I treated some classmates in school and everything. Like, I was not always the best version of myself
through
at
my
all.
Early 20s, I was still a mean girl at times.
Yeah.
I've never thrived off of it, but I've definitely been a mean girl for sure.
Yeah. I think any girl that acts like they haven't is probably Regina George.
Yeah.
Or the modern
you're
version
a
of
liar.
Her. Like, if you can't admit that you've been a mean girl, then you're probably the meanest girl.
Yeah.
But I think that the biggest shift for us happened in our mid-20s to late-20s when we started to really value one-on-one friendships more than just
for
like...
Sure.
What was it that you said earlier, your quote about 100 pennies or...
I would rather have 4 quarters than 100 pennies. And honestly, I would rather have 1 silver dollar than 4 quarters.
I'm the same way. And I think that has been the hardest thing about moving to New York is moving away from you and your kids and that relationship. But I also think what's so cool about it is you've been my number one fan.
Yeah.
You've always been the one that's like, you have to do this.
Yeah.
You can't not do this. You will hate yourself if you don't do this.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is like, you are saying that from a place of you are living your dream.
Yeah, but if you lived in Marlow, Oklahoma, you would hate your life.
I would. It's not my dream.
Yeah, but I would hate living in New York.
Yeah.
With 2 children? No. Mm-mm. No, thank you.
And the thing is, though, like, our lives and our dreams couldn't have been more different.
Yeah.
And the only way they're similar, I think, is just in that they're owning our own business and being creative.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, you knew without a doubt that you wanted kids.
Yeah.
Like right away. I still don't even know. And I'm 35. I feel like I definitely need to figure that out. But like, I'm open to adoption at this point. We'll see if God has other plans. But who knows if that's even going to happen.
Right.
But like and that's what I've always admired about you is that you've always known what you wanted and you've always gone for it. You've never hesitated. Like you are more financially successful at this point in your life than I am. And you're 5 years younger than me, which is really cool that, but I think that that's because you didn't BS around like I did. Like, you knew, and you're like, that's what I want. I'm going for it. I'm doing it. And I'm terrible at decisions.
I also think that comes with the fact, though, that I'm the youngest. And, like, I saw you go to college and hate going to college and not doing what you majored in. And looking back at that and being like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I knew it was either nursing or hair school. And everyone wanted me to go to nursing school because that seems way more stable than hair school and hoping that you just make it in the cosmetology world. But I graduated, took a year off, and was a CNA at a hospital. I ended up doing that for like 6 or 7 years. But I learned after that I didn't want to go to nursing school and do that for the rest of my life. And I also didn't want student loans and to go to college. That was my number one. I hate education. Let's just say that. Really, I'm doing what I'm doing because I didn't want to go to 4 years of school.
Yeah, but you also are passionate about what you do.
No, I 100% love what I do, and I was made to do it.
Yeah, it's wild because I honestly think I'm more of like a one-track mind kind of person, and I think that's why I haven't taken the leap with wanting kids or admitting that I want kids or trying to have kids yet. Is because I don't think that when I have kids, I'll want to do anything else.
Yeah.
And like, I think what's cool is that you're balancing your work and your home life so well. And what's cool about that is you, for those listeners that don't know, they bought a 100-year-old, well, I guess it's older than that now, 110-year-old city hall building in Marlow, Oklahoma. It's a huge brownstone. It's like 6,000 square feet. It has 16-foot ceilings on the second and first floor. It used to be a firehouse. I'll let you talk about it because it's your house. But
Well, yeah, originally it used to be the jail, and we still have the jail. Yes, we have like the legit
jail. It was a bank. There's like a big bank vault downstairs, right?
I'm not sure what that was for. I don't know if that was for like the jail or if they had a bank here or what. Where our bedroom is upstairs used to be a library at one point.
So cool.
Where Jaren's recording studio will be downstairs used to be, they used to have a church in it. Our closet is the old fireman's lockers. It's just really cool.
It's so cool. Like, people don't even know. And they're...
This building is my dream. Moving here wasn't necessarily my dream. But once we got here, like, God directed our steps every bit of the way. We have people tell us all the time, we made offers on that building, but they wouldn't budge. And Jaren and I, when we saw it, we lowballed the crap out of it. Like, I think $50,000 less than asking, and we got it. And so I remind myself that on the days when the roof leaks or... we just have random homeowning stuff happen that God brought us here.
But you know what's crazy is for a 100-year-old building of this size, you really don't have that many issues.
No, it could be way worse.
I mean, there are normal houses that have just as many issues or more. I feel like I think about that sometimes. Yeah. But no, it's a really cool building. It's very urban in a rural setting. So they really have the best of both worlds. My parents are right down the road. They have 120 acres for the kids to run around on.
Yeah.
And so I love it because it's very New York in the middle of Marlow, Oklahoma.
We walk to the gym. We walk to the yoga studio.
Yeah. You guys have it's a very urban lifestyle that you've made for yourself. But you have square footage that you would never have in New York. And you're able to have your business downstairs. So that's what I was making my point. You live upstairs, your businesses are downstairs.
Correct. Yeah.
So you're able to run up and nurse the baby, take care of the kids, fix them lunch, whatever you want to do, run down and work. And you don't work that. I mean, you're not working 40 hours a week, but.
No. And that's my thing is from really young, I wanted to always be a mom and I always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, just like our mom was for us. Being with your parent, I feel like, is very vital to your upbringing and mental stability. But that's a whole nother podcast and a whole nother can of worms I'm not
you need to start
into.
A podcast.
No. That can cause some problems. But that's just always been important to me. And I feel like I do have the best of both worlds with that because honestly, when I'm working, I'm still staying at home.
You are.
But I also believe in my mental health is very important for taking good care of my children and getting to do my creative outlet and go downstairs and be with other adults. I consider all of my clients my friends and getting to talk to them. That definitely helps with my mental health of being still getting to be a good mom.
Yeah, you get to have adult conversations still.
Yes.
It's like, I know that being a stay-at-home mom is really hard sometimes because it's just you and the kids sometimes all day. Yes. And you don't get to talk to anyone. And then your husband comes home and you want to word vomit on him. And he's had a long day of talking to everyone. And it's, you know, sometimes that's a struggle. But I think, and what's cool is both you and Jaren work from home.
Yes.
So Jaren's here too. He's out on location 2 days a week.
Yes. And then most of the time should be in the studio, but definitely helps me with the kids.
Yeah. He's like Mr. Mom, especially with the new baby.
He's wonderful. Yeah.
She's a daddy's girl.
Yes.
Parker and Hudson are the kids' names. And they're 3 and 4 months. 3 years old and 4 months. Boy and girl. And they're amazing. And they're the light of my life. And so I don't want her to do anything else except stay here and mom those babies so that when I come back every couple of months, I get to love on them and they're always just so happy. And I think that that is just such a good testament of your parenting. And I think that that's been really cool is seeing you step into your dream. It's like for so many people, their dreams are unfulfilled, you know? And I know that like, being a parent is a big dream for a lot of women. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one reason I have held back on fully plunging into it too, is I've never been able to say that. I've never been able to say that being a mom is my dream or even partly my dream. And so I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't, you know? So maybe I'm not supposed to be. And that's okay. But I think what's neat is seeing people, regardless of what their dream is, whether it's moving to New York or whatever, going for it and enjoying that and embracing that fully, honoring those dreams with your lifestyle. Yeah. I think that's important. It's like what you were saying about when your roof leaks, not cursing your blessings.
Yeah.
Same thing when your babies cry.
Yeah.
You know, am I wrong?
No. I was listening to the Current Life Church series that Craig Rochelle is doing right now, and it's about anxious for nothing. And I was listening to last week's sermon, and he was talking about how when Paul was in prison, instead of talking about all of the horrible things that he was going through, he just praised anyway. He rejoiced. And Craig said something which reminded me of Josh's whole week about when your tire blows out, rejoice and praise. And it's like, even when you don't want to, rejoice. And I don't remember what we were talking about and where I was going with that.
We were talking about when your baby cries.
Okay.
Don't curse your blessings that you prayed for. That's your dream.
Yeah.
Your dream gets hard.
Yeah, it does.
Dreams get hard, regardless of if they're big city dreams or small town dreams or stay at home mom dreams or running your own business dreams or all of the above, they get hard at some point.
Yeah. If you're following your dreams and something bad happens or multiple bad things happen to you, it doesn't mean that you're going down the wrong path or you weren't supposed to do that. It just means that life is hard sometimes and S happens.
So I think about, you know, encouragement in that regard. So one of the things that can make your dream really hard is whenever you don't feel supported and encouraged by your friends. And in this instance, you know, we were talking about mean girls and girl gangs and all of that. And I think it's crazy that we don't support each other more.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about rejoicing, one of the things that has been on my heart for probably a year or two. And I think I've talked about it in one other podcast, but I'm going to talk about it again because I think it bears repeating. And that is the verse that says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. And I think we forget about the rejoice with those who rejoice part.
Yeah.
We get jealous.
Mm-hmm.
We get hateful. We get gossipy. And we forget that it's literally a biblical commandment to be happy for other people.
Yeah.
And that's really the biggest thing, is that we can't just be happy for others. You know, and I know that social media is just social media and a lot of people want to downplay it, but social media is our life. It's becoming how we connect with the world. And so we can't just ignore it anymore. We can't just be like, oh, Facebook isn't real life. And I'm like, but it is.
Yeah.
It's become our real life. As unfortunate as that is, social media is our real life. So whenever a friend isn't liking or sharing something that you're sharing, or, you know, they're not in it with you and they're not DMing you and cheering you on and being like, I'm so proud of you, I think this is amazing. Like, I've gotten so many crazy messages from people that I haven't talked to in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Not that we had like falling outs, but just people from high school that we lost touch or whatever, that have been listening to the podcast and have been emailing me just the sweetest, most encouraging things. And honestly, like, I don't know, because I just don't know what I don't know. I don't know if I would have kept doing this after the first few weeks if no one would have said anything to me.
Yeah.
But I've had people week after week be like, yes, this is right on with what I'm thinking. I needed to hear this. Thank you so much for saying this. And it's really lit a fire under my butt. And it's also made me realize, like, sometimes the people that we think are our closest friends.
Yeah.
Look at their actions.
Yeah.
Are they the ones supporting you? If they're not, get some new friends.
Yeah.
You may have thoughts on that. Sorry, I went off for a while on a tangent, but.
No, you're fine. I just, whenever you told me we were going to talk about encouragement, I had the perfect story to back that up, because not to say that I'm super nice all the time or anything like that, but on social media, if I see stuff, I try to like be encouraging to other people. So in my salon, it's a studio space pretty much. And for the longest time, it was me by myself. And I never wanted that to change, because girls are terrifying.
You're an introvert.
I'm an introvert. And multiple girls at one time, that just screams drama and gossip to me. And that's scary. And I, like you said, I live here. So I don't want my work and my home life to collide in a bad way. I say that to say I have a girl working in there with me now named Kaylee. She's not just a girl. She's actually turned into my best friend. We found each other through social media. I started following Kaylee because she's amazing at hair. She's only been doing hair for like 2.5 years. If she posted something amazing, I would tell her, this is amazing, or this is gorgeous. I love this. I remember the date exactly because I found out I was pregnant with Parker on August 10th last year. And I get a text message or an Instagram DM.
See, it's our life now.
Yeah. From Kaylee on August 11th saying, hey, please keep this between me and you, but do you happen to have a spot for a second chair? And my immediate reaction was, no. God, no. Like, I don't want anyone else here. But she continues to tell me, you've just always been very encouraging to me, and I don't have that where I am. And that just really spoke volumes to me, just because I didn't even realize what I was doing when I was doing it, because I genuinely thought she does really great hair. But in that moment, that's what she needed. And I will always believe, and I tell people this all the time, she probably gets sick of me being sappy about her. But God brought her to me and knew that I needed her. Like, as soon as she came in and interviewed with me, what I was so afraid of ended up being a 2-hour conversation that felt like we've known each other forever. And it's just turned into an awesome friendship. And if I, back to your Power of Saying Yes podcast, if I would have said no, I would still be in a lonely place, because I don't have good friends here in Marlow. I mean, that's just part of it. I said yes, and I ended up getting a best friend and a great coworker. And if she ever leaves me, no, I'm not looking to fill her spot. But I just think encouraging is really important, and we don't even realize who needs to hear it.
Sometimes we think the people that don't need to hear it are the best people.
Yeah.
Like, I've been told that before by former friends of mine, that you need encouragement. Like, yeah, me.
Yeah, I feel like we all need words of affirmation sometimes. Sometimes I don't even realize how badly I need words of affirmation until I hear it. And I'm like, oh, I really needed that today.
Yeah, and then you cry. Like, a big alligator tear rolls down your cheek and you're like, wow, I really needed that.
Like when my doctor hugged me after my last appointment and I was like, oh, I didn't know I needed that from a doctor, but now I'll stay with her forever. Like,
yeah. She's amazing. She's both of our doctor. Shout out to Dr. Weaver.
Yeah. You're the bomb.
You're the bomb. But no, I think what you were trying to say, and what you did a really good job of saying, but to cap it off with Kaylee, is you have created a culture of community over competition.
100%.
People say that and they don't do it. Like, that's a buzz thing now to say, like, hashtag community over competition. And I've seen people hashtag that are the most competitive and jealous people I've ever met.
My two very best friends are also hairstylists. And I 100% do not feel that I'm in competition with either one of them. We encourage each other. They have become friends through being friends with me. And this is how I feel about the whole hairstylist world. Everyone has hair on their head. And I don't have time to do everyone's hair.
What's crazy is, like, both of us are super competitive, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if we play board games, someone's going to die at the end of it.
And you're going to hear cuss words.
For sure. So it's not like we're just passive people being like, oh, community over competition. Like, we're probably two of the most competitive people that have chosen to lay down that competitive nature and pick up the mantle of encouragement for other women, because it is so important. And someone out there has done that for us before.
Yeah. I think part of it too is, like, realizing that there's so much more to life than being jealous, judging people for what they're doing. I honestly don't care. Like, I know that sounds terrible, but I think, and, like, you don't have kids, so it wasn't having kids for you, but, like, having kids for me just changed the way that I see things and think about things. And, like, that's what my focus is on. And it's changing your focus on, I don't care what else other people are doing. It doesn't matter what other people are doing around me. I'm just focusing on what's the most important thing to me. And that's not competition.
I think that speaks to the importance of pursuing your dreams because, no, for me, it's not like you just became a busy mom so you don't have time for BS anymore. It's like, no, pursuing the dream in my heart fulfilled my heart in a way that nothing else has.
100%.
And when my own heart is fulfilled, my cup runneth over into other people's cups. It's easy. It's like when you are walking out that dream and you're pursuing that, it's easy to let that flow into other people.
Yeah.
Because you're not jealous.
Yes.
Because you don't, you literally have everything you've ever wanted.
Yeah.
So how can you be jealous?
Right.
And I think that most jealous people aren't pursuing their dreams.
Right.
And if they are, then they're, if they're pursuing them, then they haven't yet broken through to the other side of feeling like they've achieved them.
Yeah. My thought is be so busy chasing your dream that you're not worried about what anyone else is doing.
Yeah. And I feel like if people, if women could get that, we could all just lock arms and move forward together.
Yeah. Well, it's like dad always taught us, like, if you're running in a race, don't ever look back because when you look back, it slows you down. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking back at what other people are doing, you're going to slow down. My eye is on the prize. My eye is on the finish line. And it's what my dreams are and what I want to do.
I think that's what's been crazy is I've had so much more peace in my life since I moved to New York. And I don't think it was just moving geographic locations. I think it's just that fulfilling in my heart. That's just, I'm just generally at peace now. I know there's not a lot for me to get upset about. And it's, it has made me even more protective over that peace to where something threatens it. I'm immediately like, nope.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think that there are multiple ways to kind of diminish or cut out the girl gang, mean girl behavior. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just cutting ties with girls that are like that and women that are like that. Because if they're a 30 plus year old woman and they're still acting that way, they're not going to change.
Yeah.
And if they do, they can come to you later and you guys can reconcile and work on your friendship.
Yeah.
But like, let them go do what they need to do, be with Jesus, work it out on their own. You don't need that negativity in your life.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Agreed, yeah.
I think part of that is encouraging others around you to be the best version of themselves and choosing not to be threatened by that. If you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe by going to Apple, Spotify, Google, Breaker, or Overcast. New episodes posted every Tuesday at 6 a.m. Eastern. If you'd like to support this podcast, go to anchor.fm/Danielle Elizabeth Inc. and click on support. This podcast is mixed and mastered by Jaren Nix of Desperado Sound.